Just complete a Sefer Bereishis, open Sefer Shmos, complete the beginnings. A Sefer Bereishis, the beginning of the universe, the beginning of civilization, the beginning of humanity, the beginning of Am Yisrael. Now begins the core story of Am Yisrael. Begins now in Sefer Shmos. Parsha Shmos. A lot of big issues in Parsha Shmos. Dvarim Nisgavim, Dvarim Gedolim. We'll focus briefly on a pasuk that at first seems ki'ilu, more pashat, ki'ilu seems a more narrow issue. A pasuk with a unique yichas, shared by certain other psukim in Chumash. And that is after Moshe Rabbeinu's encounter with the Ribbono Shel Olam at the Sneh. He has nevuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu convinces him, Moshe Rabbeinu's Anava comes to the fore, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevails upon him. You're going to go back, you're going to be my shliach for Gulas Yisrael, you're going to become Rabban Shel Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu was headed back from Midian to Mitzrayim. And the pasuk mentions, it seems like a little detail, that got to get home somehow. Vayar kivayim al ha. Any balakriya? Chamar. They get a ride on a donkey. So what's the special yichus? Of that pasuk? It's like Avram's donkey. Okay, good. A gemara. There's a gemara that mentions this pasuk. And Mashiach, good. The yichus of this pasuk actually has to do a gemara in Megillah. It actually is a Chodesh Teves type of yichus. Gemara says that for the Targum Shivim, the Canaan were gathered by one of the Ptolemies into different rooms. They're all metargim, forced to metargim the Torah into Greek. And every time they made a non-literal translation, so they were all mechavin to the same non-literal translation. One of those was this pasuk. What about this pasuk requires a non-literal translation? Right here. What about this pasuk requires non-literal translation? Yarkivem al chamor. Instead, it was by they wrote by Yarkivem al nose b'nei adam, a vehicle for human beings rather than a donkey. Maishna. So Rashi says, shelo yomru that Moshe lahayelo suso gamo. The Nachrim are going to read the translation. They're going to say, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a horse. He didn't have a camel. He wasn't riding business class. He had to ride, ride all the way in the back. He had to ride on the chamar. A mudna Rashi. So they would say, Moshe didn't have a chamar. Izvas. We understand some of the other tikkunim that the Gemara mentioned, understand that would have been very insulting. It would be very demeaning. They would have misunderstood, but what's the big deal? Okay, so he doesn't have a gamo, doesn't have a sos, he has a chamar. So Yaakov Kametsky is a fascinating shot. Yaakov Kametsky says, Yehuyan Josephus, Yaakov, as you can see, take a look at M.S. Yaakov in this pasuk. He says, you see from Josephus, he doesn't give the exact marmakim, his grandson of Neustadt, and the Balaam tells you, Mistam, my Zeta meant, gives you the exact marmakim. He says, you see that the Sone Yisrael in the Greco-Roman period, one of the canards that they tossed against the Jews, one of the stories they made up, is that we deify donkeys. Like a strange story. But that was apparently a somewhat commonly held belief that the Jews secretly deify donkeys, that if you get deep enough, they thought that if you get deep enough, like Jews having horns. Narishkeit that had certain currency. There were plenty of people who believed that if you go into the Jewish temple, you'll find secretly they have some sort of golden statue of a donkey and that the Jews bow down to donkeys. So he said, Yaakov says, that's what it means. You have to read the Rashi sarcastically. It's not that they would say, oh, look, he didn't have a donkey. He was, he was traveling so simply. No. I mean, they would have said, what? He didn't have a donkey. He didn't have access to a camel. He didn't have access to a horse. Sure, he did. Why the camel? Why the donkey? Because, you see, they would have taken this as a confirmation you see that the Jews really worship donkeys, which, as we know, is utter narishkeit. But in order to avoid reconfirming this lie that the Sone Yisrael had, so that's why they left out the donkey. As you mentioned, Rashi, points out that it was a donkey, and Rashi quotes from the Midrash Chazal, the same donkey that took them to the Akedah, the same donkey that's going to bring Mashiach. Ani v'rochav al hachamar. The pasuk in Zechariah describes Bias HaMashiach as Mashiach showing up on a donkey. The truth is, Rav Hirsch points out that in last week's Parashas Vayechi, in the bracha of Yehuda, Yaakov Avinu describes Bias HaMashiach in the context of a donkey as well. Osri la'gefen iro. Yaakov Avinu describes Bias HaMashiach, he's riding on a donkey, he's going to tie the donkey temporarily, hitch the donkey to a grapevine, a vivid image. So apparently, the Sone Yisrael obviously were totally wrong. We do not deify donkeys, but there is a significance to the donkey. And this is the donkey of the Akedah, the donkey that's bringing Moshe Rabbeinu, beginning the process of Bias HaGoel HaRishon, the coming of Moshe Rabbeinu to Mitzrayim, and the donkey is going to bring Mashiach Tzidkenu. So what's Taka Pshat? The Sone Yisrael were totally wrong. But what is the Pshat in the Chumash? Why did the Torah have to tell us? Forget about the translation. Why did the Chumash have to tell us? Well, it's the Nevush HaHutzrach L'Doros. We need to know how they drove. Whatever. He grabbed the camel. Whether it was whatever type of hasa'ah it was, lemaisa they got from Midian to Mitzrayim. Why is it taka chashus? Obviously, that Medrash that Rashi is quoting is highlighting. There is something afoot. No pun intended. So it could be azay. Rav Hirsch writes in last week's parasha on the Pesukim Vayechi. He refers to some of this in the Brach of Yisachar as well. That he develops the idea that the significant parts of the symbolism of a donkey is, he says, it says a sus, a horse, signifies a kingdom that's focused on war. A horse is very military. And it says, the Torah tells us that the Jewish king's horse is supposed to be limited. We go to war when necessary, but that's not the focus, that's not the goal. It says the chamor is a truck of antiquity. Chamor is a symbol of taking care of one's goods and one's assets in peace. In peace and with incredible consistency. Certainly that's part of, not for now, part of the discussion with Yisachar, the Yisachar Chamor Garim. And he says, Kadosh Baruch Hu shows us Melech HaMashiach as Ryan Chamor to highlight that war is when necessary, but the goal is a consistency in peacetime. Consistency in peacetime. It could, and he points out, you know, that a halachic riddle for you. There are many dinim that apply to behemoths in general, or to chayas in general, to ophos in general. And then sometimes you have a din that applies to one particular species. Say, Karban Pesach has to be a keves. How many dinim do you have that apply to one specific species, non-kosher species? Dinim daraisa, that applies specifically to one particular non-kosher species only. Petach hamar, yeah. Agav, what else? There's at least one other. So you could, if you want to, you could say tchelis is specific, okay. But it is specific, but there's at least one other. The Torah mamash mentions a particular, names a particular species, and that is specific non-kosher animal. That is Mechir Kelev. Esnan Zona Mechir Kelev. Dafka, Mechir Kelev is Dafka Kelev. Petach Hamar is Dafka Hamar. Now, Mechir Kelev, we begin to understand. Mechir Kelev, if you have an animal that was, a kosher animal that was used to buy a donkey, to buy a Kelev, to buy a dog, so that's Garua. So that's demeaning. You can use such an animal, for a carbon. It's demeaning to Ribbono Shel Olam. So that we understand. Petach Hamar is a Maila. It's a unique mitzvah of Pidyon HaBechor. There's one type of Pidyon HaBechor, one din of Bechor for Bechor Beim Torah, and then one type of din of Bechor, but Davka only for Hamar. There's no such din of Petach Gamal. Why Davka the Hamar? So he says, no, das it does. The Hamar is a positive symbol of consistent Avoda B'Shah Shalom. And that's why It's one of the symbols that we associate with Mashiach and with the Geul that Kadosh Baruch Hu sent via Moshe Rabbeinu. And it could be that it captures, I think a number of the Balei Musar suggests that that's shot in a medrash that we, as far as I know, only know of from the Akdama to Ben Yaakov, where the more famous version is that the Kol Gadol B'Torah, Rabbi Kiva tells us, is V'Aftarecha Kamocha. But and Yaakov quotes a machlokas hatanam, looks like many of you are actually familiar with this, right? The three different opinions. And to tell me that the psukim about Amuna are called Gadol B'Torah, I understand. To tell me that Avos Yisrael, okay, you have to work on a little bit, but I know how to begin there. But to tell me that Sakeves Echad Taseh V'Boker, Sakeves Hasheni Taseh Bein Arboim, bringing carbon tamid, one sheep in the morning, one sheep in the evening, it's certainly it's a din, it's a mitzvah, beautiful mitzvah, one of 613 beautiful mitzvahs. But that's the Kol Gadol B'Torah. It's hard to understand what's uniquely, singularly central about Hakarvas Karban Tamid. As a matter of fact, over the course of those psukim at the end of those parshas, the end of Pinchas, you have all the musafin, Karban Tamid is the tiniest of all. So you want to talk karbanos in general, but why this specific carbon? I think a number of the Balei Musar suggest that's exactly the point. It's the least razzle-dazzle. The Karbanos on Yom Tov, and certainly the Karbanos on Sukkah is way larger, way fancier, way more expensive, and also way more sporadic. The Karban Tamid is tiny. One sheep in the morning, one sheep in the evening, doesn't really get much smaller than that. But it's incredibly consistent. That's some of the Balei Musar point out, that approach in the Medrash is saying this verse, that we sometimes lose track of the fact that the small and steady and consistent is absolutely critical. That is the Kol Gadol B'Torah. It's not the only mitzvah Kadosh Baruch Hu has. The Kadosh Baruch Hu also has dramatic and more sporadic mitzvahs, but the basis and the foundation has to be the growth has to be based on the symbolism of the chamor. That's where it begins and that's how it grows. And that's an incredibly important yisod. That's incredibly important yisod. This month and next month and this year and next year and this decade and next decade is to seek to continue to grow and to be ambitious in consistent ways. Mishael Sishar, when he begins to lay out the very first step in a program of incredible, ambitious, long-term growth, he starts with the need to be misbonein, sihiris, and he says you have to be misbonein mefakeach al ma'isav adrachav, which I think means the opening parak beis, which I think means Ramchal has a lot of many pairs of terms throughout the Mesilas Yesharim. You have to figure out the duality each time. The words are not there just for mere poetic flourish. Ma'isav adrachav, so mizbonim mifakech ha'ma'isav means specific decisions, specific actions I took, specific decisions I'm looking forward to making, and I need to think those things through carefully. Reflect on the past and think carefully about the future. But it's not only specific ma'isav, it's also drachim, which presumably means being mizbonim in what my trajectory is. Where is the path? Where is the long-term goal? Where am I headed? And does that need to be elevated? Does it need to be tweaked? Does it need to be recalibrated? To think about the trees, to think about specifics, and also to be thinking about the derech. What path am I on, and where am I heading, and what are the goals, and am I shooting for the stars, and which stars am I shooting for? And that's incredibly important, to be consistently working towards the big picture. That is important, you saw it at every stage. Every stage in the life of a Ben Torah, and every month, every year, every decade.